Do I have to pick up reading where you left off? This is like emailing me to the moon. Good Shabbos, good Shabbos. So this parsha is Korach. I was trying to think of where the word Korach comes from. So Korach is ice, and we have an association with Amalek, Asher Korcha Bederech, that he chilled us out on the road, right? There's another root, Kireach, means bald. We're not allowed to make bald patches in mourning. It's a pagan kind of thing to do. Yeah, correct. You're not allowed to rip your hair out in mourning. It's excessive. Yeah. Rabbi Akiva had a son who's usually identified as Rabbi Yoshua ben Korcha, which roughly translated means Rabbi Yoshua ben Baldy. So we kind of assume from that Rabbi Akiva might have been bald. I don't know. Rabbi Akiva would daven, he'd start in one corner of the room and end in the other. So they say Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Berditchev is a reincarnation of Rabbi Akiva. He also davened very wildly. So Rabbi Levi Yitzchak only wanted to be for Shabbos by the Rebbe Rav Baruch of Mezhibuz, the Baal Shem Tov's grandson. Baal Shem Tov, Huddle, Baruch. Rabbi Nachman's uncle. But Rabbi Baruch knew the Levi Yitzchak is kind of wild. So he said, maybe. He said, okay, I'll tell you what. You come for Shabbos, because Baruch was really a Rebbe. And just don't do anything wild and crazy. So he said, okay, I won't say anything. This Rabbi Levi Yitzchak's not going to say anything, right? So he's there. And the Rebbe Baruch makes Kiddush. It's unbelievable. He offers Rabbi Levi Yitzchak makes Kiddush. And Rabbi Baruch makes Motzi out of 12 Chalas. This is a minute. 12 chalas like lechem apanim. And after the chalas, they serve the fish. And they're very proud. The tradition of the Baal Shem Tov is to have two kinds of fish on Shabbos, all kinds of things. And Shabbos comes in twos, you know? We learn it from the manna in the wilderness, two portions. Learn a lot about Shabbos from the man. In fact, why is the man so important to Shabbos? Well, we learn some things, maybe a little bit about Muktzah and about and Lechem Mishnah. You know why it's so important? So we had the mitzvah of Shabbos. But no one was alive from Bereishit anymore when we got the Torah. So all we're doing was taking on faith, which isn't such a terrible thing, that what Hashem says is right, that do the Shabbos. But how do we know we have the right day? The man, what was the man? What was the test of the man? You had to take every day and take a double portion on Friday because on Shabbos there wouldn't be any. So some cynics, sure enough, so it's going to be one or two, probably from the Bronx. That's where I'm from, chutzpah, right? Took one portion, came back on Shabbos, and sure enough, no man, the store closed. All melted, went away. So they knew visibly it was Shabbos. In other words, the man was a first empiric evidence that we have the right day. So we do a lot about our Lechem Mishnah like the man. We cover it. You know, everybody's heard the vort, we hear it a million times. Why do we cover the challahs? To not shame the challahs, you know, while the wine is being preferred, which is the unusual beginning of a meal. No. In addition to that, there was a layer under and over the challahs. So we have a layer, we have a tablecloth under and a cover over. So Rav Baruchel makes motzi on 12 challahs. And then the fish, two kinds of fish. One spicy, one sweet. And they're being served by a shamas who's serving as a waiter. And the shamas thinks to ask Reb Levi Yitzchak, did you really love the fish? Because he was very proud. Reb Levi Yitzchak couldn't hold it back. Love the fish? I love a Kodesh Baruch Hu, I love Shabbos. And the fish plate goes flying. And fish, with its juice and its yuck, goes all over Rav Baruchel's bekisha. His silver brocaded, beautiful chalatel with velvet and flowers. Rav Baruch never changed that bekasha again. He always wore that bekasha for the rest of his life because it was evidence of a Jew who served Hashem with his whole heart. And it doesn't end there. The family of Rav Baruchel made the bekasha a legacy, and it went on. And for generations, that bekasha was worn, and then it was no longer capable of being worn, so they cut it and made part of it into a beged for tzitzis. And they say that the last little handkerchief of it was lost in the Shoah. Levi Yitzchak's fish. Let me tell you about bekashas. Cousins of Magid, because I really want to talk about prayer, because you really know that everything I teach one way or another is about prayer. Cousins of Magid was born late in life to a family of the bookbinder. And it was very difficult for his parents to have children. And Baruch Hashem, they were given the gift of a child. He became Cousin Samagat. There are a lot of stories about it. Later in his life, a woman came to the Cousin Samagat for a bracha. She should have children. She had been childless for years. And the Magid said, I can sympathize with, I can understand, because I know from my mother how her yearnings to have a child went so long unfulfilled. And the way it happened, one of the stories goes, is my mother went to the Baal Shem Tov and brought him a new bekasha. And he was so taken by that act of simple devotion that he blessed her, she should have children, and I was born. So the woman kind of added two and two and got five and said, maybe the Rebbe would like a new bekasha. And the Rebbe said, no, it wouldn't work anymore. He said, why? Because you know the story now. Sincerity, originality. So the phrase about Korach that resonates through the folk phrases, Fill in the missing word if you're in my sphere, don't enter the contest. He was as Korach. People as nasty, as ornery, as chutzpah. In Yiddish, it said he was azoy reich vi Korach. He was as rich as Korach. Korach was rich. I'm just thinking it doesn't really make sense because Ezehu Ashir Asameach Bechalko, Korach was anything but happy with his portion. But let's hold that for a moment. So because Korach is described as rich, I want to talk about money compared with prayer. What's rich and what's really rich? So a family comes to the Kutzker Rebbe. The Kutzker Rebbe is as filled with truth as one could be. He is about truth. And the family, Shalom Aleichem. Wow, welcome home. Family, father, mother, some cousins, an old grandfather, some children, come to the Kutzker Rebbe and say, Grandma's sick. We want the Rebbe to pray for her. So there's a thing that tzaddikim pray, it's maybe something special, it's their specialty. And the Rebbe says, I don't do that. So they kind of think maybe it's that he wants a donation. There was an inyan called a pidyon. You would give a little donation. How does it work? And by the way, where do you see it in Torah? Yitzchak is old and blind and wants to give over the blessings to Esav. He says, go hunt me. Go hunt me some hunting. Why? He needs a meal. No, there's an issue here. There's an issue that when a Rebbe gets a pidyon, and you write on the kvittel, you should all have that experience, your name, then your mother's name, because mother is ani avdecha ben amatecha, arouses the merciful side of things. So the Rebbe gets a pidyon, well, he goes up to heaven, or goes up in his prayers, and Hashem, of course, has a special relationship with him, and Hashem and he can talk about, I would do something for you, I would do anything for you, because you're you, but him, I don't know him. So the tzaddik can say, I owe him, so do it for him because I owe him. He helped me build my shul or whatever. So they get the idea, maybe they should make an offer of opinion. They say, Rebbe will be happy to donate 100 rubles. The Rebbe gets a glint in his eye. And he says, if you want to donate, that's lovely. You want me to pray for Grandma? Okay. For 50,000 rubles. Say what? 50,000 rubles. Not a ruble less. This isn't what they expected. They think and they think and they think and they think. They huddle. Okay. We thought we would just ask for prayer, but we understand that perhaps you're involved in special work and work takes budget, time is money, success is worth anything. grandma's very important to us. We can get together and they, you know, the cousins and the uncles and the parents, and there's a little savings here. We'll give you 1,000 rubles. 50,000 rubles. So I'm thinking, well, you can sell the old candlesticks. And I could work double shift and I could donate a little bit of that. And I didn't really need my new plasma screen anyway. It'll bring an extra buck, or my laptop, or my mouse. Okay, 10,000 rubles. And the Rebbe thinks and says, 50,000 rubles. They're really very broken. They don't know what to do. Grandma's sick. So they think, okay, we'll sell the house. It's worth about that. They don't know exactly where they'll live, how they'll live. And they'll just share whatever's left. Think, okay. And then they ask around, and they find out they can't get 50,000 for it, they can get 25,000 for it. They say, we're gonna sell our house, we'll give you 25,000 rubles. Rebbe, still knowing it's all they have, really, 50,000 rubles. And then the grandfather among them gets up and says, Rebbe, if you won't bless grandma for less than 50,000 rubles, we'll just have to bless her ourselves. And the Rebbe says, that's what I wanted to hear. Keep your 25,000 rubles, I'll bless her. Because you really could do it yourself. Now you know. I heard the Boston Rebbe tell the following story. A poor man came to the Apta Rav, the Holy Ohev Yisrael of Avram Yoshua Heschel of Apt. The truth is, he wasn't in Apt very long. I've mentioned this to my share, but if you hear it again, a good story is like a good performance, right? And the Apta Rav viewed this chassid and realized he may be kind of nebuchy now, but he has potential because he's bright. And the man came to the Apta Rav. I was about to say the Apta Rav was almost never in Apt. He really lived in Medrash. But since Medrash is the city of the Baal Shem Tov, you can't like one up the Baal Shem Tov. So he took the name the Apta Rav. He's buried in the Ohel of the Baal Shem Tov in Medrash. And he wrote a wonderful sefer, Ohev Yisrael. Every little local nationality of Hasidic Rebbe has someone who's an Ohev Yisrael. Ukraine had Eitz the Apta Rav, and also in Ukraine, Levi Yisro Berditchever was the defense attorney of the Jewish people. In Poland, it was Itzel Avorker. Love the people. A few loves the Baal Shem Tov espouses, love of Yisrael, love of Hashem, love of Torah. Some were specialists in loving Yisrael. So the Apta Rav, the Ohev Yisrael, is approached by this Jew who says, I just can't quite make ends meet. So I was hoping for your bracha. So the Apta Rav knows that you have to start from someplace, reaches into his pocket, finds a 5-ruble coin, and says, here, take this. And I give you my blessing that anything you turn to in an investment comes out successfully and can parlay it into grand sums. Tens of thousands worth what you have. So he takes the coin, thanks the Rebbe profusely for the blessing, and the Rebbe says, go, invest it in anything that comes your way.
and I give you the blessing of success.
So he goes out, doesn't know exactly what to do with the big 5 rubles, not exactly weighing down his pocket. And he sees there's a fair in the outskirts of town. And there are tents and tables and displays. There are some statues, and there are some diamonds, and there are some kitchen appliances and all kinds of things. A few animals here and there. So kind of aimlessly, he wanders into a tent, and it's the diamond tent. So he goes up to someone who looks through it, and said, "I'd like to invest." "What do you want?" He said, "Frankly, whatever you suggest. How much do you care to invest?" 5 rubles. 5 rubles? Are you kidding? If a diamond worth 1,000 rubles falls on the floor, we don't even bother picking it up. It's so paltry. 5 rubles? We don't have anything worth 5 rubles. So he's a little confused. He's about to go and seek his fortune elsewhere. But then this Jewish person has a second thought, and he's kind of cynical, and he sees this Hasidic-looking Jew. He'll have a laugh on him. He said, "You know what? You want something for 5 rubles, I'll tell you what I'll sell you for 5 rubles. I'll sell you my Olam Haba. I'll sell you my portion in the world to come." Well, he doesn't exactly know how he's going to fence that, but the Rebbe said, "Buy the first thing offered." He said, "Okay, but at least I should have something to show for it. Write me a certificate." "That's fine. Mr. Diamond Merchant sells to Mr. Chassid his Olam Haba for 5 rubles. Signed." Gives him the 5 rubles, gives him the shtar. That's it. Goes home or goes out, trying to figure out what to do with a shtar for someone's Olam Haba. And the diamond merchant thinks he just skinned this. He got sold something for nothing. Got money for nothing. Okay. Goes home, however, after the end of a long day. And this is still the funniest thing that's happened to him all day, all week. Tells his wife, "Honey, you'll never believe. You want to hear how I made easy money? Not a lot, but easy. There was this Hasidic guy wandering around the tent today looking to invest in a diamond for 5 rubles, which is a joke. And so I knew I couldn't get the 5 rubles out of him that way because we had no diamonds less than thousands. So I sold him my Olam Haba. Can you imagine? He paid me 5 rubles. The wife's face turns serious. And she's a bit more respectful, has a bit more tradition in her background, perhaps. "You think your Olam Haba, what you represent, your destiny, your future, is worth 5 rubles on a piece of paper?" He said, "Honey, it was a joke. I was." She said, "If that's all you think of yourself, it's over between us. I can't live with someone who thinks he's trash. I want you to go and get that certificate back to prove it to me that you did it. And I don't care if you have to pay a little bit to sweeten the deal." So he goes back the next day, praying that the Jew is there. Comes the next day. Is this thing doing anything? Okay. He prays that the Jew is still there. He comes the next morning. Sure enough, the Jew is wandering around trying to figure who can buy this thing. And the man, in a very sort of indulgent way, puts his arm around him. "Hey, my friend, you know, remember we had that joke yesterday where you wanted to buy for 5 rubles and I sold you the Olam Haba? I thought it was a terrific joke and I'm glad we shared it. But you know, my wife, she doesn't have exactly the same sense of humor, right? She's So, yeah, right. Okay, blame it on the women, right? So, I'd like to get it back. You don't mind? I'm happy to give you the 5 rubles back, and we'll just forget it. It'll be between us. And then he thinks of what his wife said and said, I'll tell you what, you know, I'll give you back 10 rubles. Just give me the paper. The Jew realizes this guy seems really beneath this smooth talk, agitated by it. And he remembers the Rebbe's words that whatever he deals will be successful in this. He says, okay, I'll give it back to you. 50,000 rubles. By the way, I don't really remember the numbers. It's always 50,000 rubles in my stories. It's about like a big sum. So this diamond merchant, that's now diamond territory. That's real stuff. That's geld. Said, what did you say? Said 50,000 rubles if you want this paper back. Said, you know, you're a bigger joker than I am. I'll tell you, look, reaches in and he has notes and he has bills. I'll give you 100 rubles, man. You know, be okay, you know, be sweet. Don't spoil a nice thing. Here, you got 20 times what you gave me. Thinks, 50,000 rubles, please. The fact that he's still dealing tells the Jew he's really onto something. And he thinks, he looks around, what did he make in the last week? What are these diamonds worth? What can he spare? What does he have? I'll give you 10,000 rubles. The Jew says, appreciating the humor of the moment, now you're talking. 50,000 rubles. $25,000. Come on. Half of an absurd price. 50,000. He now realizes he can't just give 25,000 without checking what he's doing. He said, are you going to be around tomorrow? He said, sure, this is going so nicely. Let's do it again. Be here tomorrow. He goes home, tells his wife this unbelievable story that for this 5 ruble Olam Haba certificate, the Jew wants 50,000 rubles and turned down 25. The wife is shocked. Those are numbers. Michael, how are you? Good Shabbos. Did you bring the Arak?
No.
So she thinks and says, let's go together tomorrow. They both go tomorrow, the next day, to the shuk, to the diamond fair, to the diamond tent of the fair. And the Jew is there. And he comes in with a big offer, and the guy says, okay, 30,000 rubles. 50,000 rubles. Okay, look. It's really a lot of money you're talking about. I'll give you 35,000. No. No, really, 35,000 rubles. Just, you know, be a good guy. Give me the certificate. 50,000 rubles. Puts the certificate in his pocket. He's about to walk off. No, wait. And his wife comes in. And the wife says, how come you're so obstinate? He said, my Rebbe said it would work out. Wow, you got some Rebbe. Said, tell me, if I and my husband agree to give you 50,000 rubles, can you bring me to your Rebbe? Said, I think I can arrange that. I can at least try. Okay. Can we really get together 50,000 and recover over a year or two? Actually, yes. Okay, 50,000 rubles. Here it is. So the next week, the chassid takes them to the Ohev of Yisrael, to the Abdur Rav. And she requests an audience. Now, the Jew is now dressed like decently. You know, he was in shmatas before, and now he's elegant, and he has a pelt, a fur coat, and suddenly when you walk in like you really Korach, you get treated a little differently. Reich vi Korach. So he asked, could my friend and his wife see the Rebbe? Gabi says, sure. So they go into the Rebbe. And after some talk, the wife asks the Rebbe, Holy Rebbe, tell me something. My husband, we went through this whole thing, right? Zalem Haba. And I was so offended, and we the bargaining, etc. Tell me, Rebbe, we paid 50,000 rubles for that piece of paper. It says Olam Haba worth 50,000 rubles. So the Rebbe looks, smiles, thinks about the Jew and the deal. Said, you know something, Rebbetzin? When he was willing to sell it for 5 rubles, it wasn't even worth that. But now that he had to realize that it has a high price, it's worth so much more. More than 50,000. It's worth everything. So I want to bless you all that you have a Shabbos that's beyond, and that's worth everything. And you have davenings that you know you can really, really daven for yourself. And you should also be Sameach Bechelko, not like Korach. And you should have the best Shabbos of your life. Good Shabbos, good Shabbos, good Shabbos. Right. Okay, we're coming into Rosh Chodesh, you know. It's Tammuz, the backwards month. I said that vis-a-vis the Bnei Yisachar, that one or two of us heard Yehuda Richter referred to last week. Bnei Yisachar notices every month has a permutation of Shem Hashem. Tammuz, it's backwards because it's Midat Adin. Whatever that means. So we need a sweetening niggun. So you know the story of the Krakow niggun. Shlomo Kalbach was in Krakow, and he was thinking about all those souls. And he was in the cemetery there, and this tearful niggun came to him, came down from heaven, and he sang it. And as he was singing it, he had this image of all the holy Jews there. The survivors and the not survivors saying, you're going back to Eretz Yisrael. Is that the way you go to Eretz Yisrael? And he went into the second part of the tune, and we go to Simcha. And that's, by the way, going to be the way Av is. Av begins backwards. And then it ends forwards in the name of Hashem, because till Tu B'Av, it's kind of hard. But from Tu B'Av, whoo, that's when all the sweetness comes in. My Shidduch came down on Tu B'Av. But that's a story for another time. Ba-ba-ba-ba-yum-ba-ba-yum-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba Just because you know the tune doesn't mean you don't have to sing it. And if you don't know it, you surely have to sing it.
Don't make a turn.